My name is Nick Georges, and 3 years ago, after training, I went to Palestine for 3 months as a humanitarian witness, where for 3 months on a daily basis, I witnessed the atrocities that the Israeli army commits upon the Palestinians on their own land. I had problems when I got back to England. Eventually, I was diagnosed by a doctor as having got PTSD. It is just awful being out there and seeing the way the Palestinians are treated. The illegal Israeli settlements taking over all their land, the attacks by the settlers, the demolitions on their homes. I personally witnessed one tent of a shepherd and his wife being demolished four times by a digger. One tent. The Israeli army demolishes everything they can. I witnessed them once demolishing a fence, believe it or not. The whole army came down, well, the whole army, about 25 soldiers, two big JCBs, and demolished a fence around the field of satire. You know, that is the level to which they do it. They demolished their water wells, they demolished their water pipes to the villages. All these things I've seen and witnessed. When I got back to England, one of my main aims is to raise awareness in England of what is happening out there. And so what I did, I had to give my advocacy talks. So I've given my advocacy talks. I've given them in my church. I've given them to Quaker halls, Quaker meetings. I've given them in schools, one school, 200 sixth formers I've given my talk to. I've given my talks everywhere. I've gone on peaceful demonstrations. I've written countless letters to my MPs. I've gone out in the freezing cold bearing placards. I've got so many things I've done. It's hard
Nick,
to even...
Nick, I'm sorry, but, you know, the Israelis would say, wouldn't they, that they're facing a terrorist threat from these groups like Hamas and in Lebanon Hezbollah and these other groups who don't believe that Israel has a right to exist. So obviously they are going to have a fairly aggressive, even if it's in a defensive manner, aggressive stance to those people that want to see an end to the Israeli state.
Yes, and they do have an incredibly aggressive stance. But the trouble is when a country constantly breaks international humanitarian law and completely ignores UN conventions, they have to expect to be attacked. And, you know, there's no, it's just, to those that know, it is very clear what is happening there and the wrong that is happening there. And yes, they do. They make it incredibly difficult for us to publicise and make the world aware of what is going on there. I mean, all the things that I've done have all been, in effect, got nowhere. I've done long walks to raise money for charities. I've actually got my own canal boat. I've taken people out on trips on my canal boat to raise money for Palestinian charities. We've done all sorts of things. But the problem is that the Israeli army just crushes the Palestinian voice. Israeli media power in this country delegitimizes all talk of Palestine and criticism of the Israeli government by its weaponization of anti-Semitism. And so all the things that I've been doing are very hard to have any effect. And people have been doing these things, writing to their MPs, et cetera, since 1948.
And now, you've been involved in taking some direct action as well. So this is a step up a bit, isn't it, from the sort of just leafleting, campaigning and this sort of thing and letter writing, where you the idea is that you see nothing changing. And so someone with a conscience as an individual will go in and actually take some. Literally, this is where the word comes from, direct action against a business which is supporting the oppression of the Palestinians. So can you tell us why you chose to do this?
Right. Well, the reason I chose this was basically ever since 1948, nothing has changed. And now, 70 years later, the Palestinians have less rights, less land, hundreds of thousands killed, and the situation is just getting worse. And we've all written to our MPs. We've all done all these things. They've made no difference. So eventually, it's very hard once you've seen the horrendous suffering out there. And let me tell you a little story which will lead on exactly into why I took the action I did. When I was out in Palestine, I was taken to the site of an incident. The incident happened a couple of years previously. This was a house in a small Palestinian village called Douma. In this house lived a mother and a father, 4-year-old son and a baby. One night at 2 o'clock in the morning, a group of Jewish extremist Israeli settlers came down to this house. They had got from the army an incendiary device. They threw this incendiary device through the bedroom window into this family's bedroom. The family woke up all on fire. The mother grabbed the baby. They rushed out of the room outside. When they got outside, they realized, A, that the mother had grabbed the blankets and not the baby. B, that although they were outside the house, they were still on fire. Their bodies were still burning because there was phosphorus in this bomb. And waiting for them outside were the settlers who attacked them with axes and hacked them down. The mother died that night. The father died the next day. When the Palestinians went in to try and find the remains of the baby, the heat from this incendiary device was so intense that the baby had completely been incinerated. There was no trace left. The witness there gave me a bit of the heat was so intense that aluminium window frames melted, and he broke off a little bit of melted aluminium window frame, which I've got at home now. These incendiary devices, these phosphorus incendiary devices, are made against United Nations international humanitarian law in this country by the Israeli armaments company, Elbit. This Israeli company has 10 armaments producing factories in England. I didn't know this until recently. I doubt that you did either. So Israel has 10, has hived off 10 of its weapons making factories into England, and it's producing these illegal weapons on English soil with English workers. Also, these factories produce the drones and the munitions for 85% of the Israeli army. So the Israeli army is basically armed by Elbit-produced weapons, which come from this country. A few years ago, Israel bombed the completely imprisoned city of Gaza, where the people are trapped in, completely surrounded and hemmed in by the Israeli army. And in the space of 2 weeks, Israel killed 2,400 innocent men, women and children with weapons that were made by Elbit in this country. So this is why I went up on the roof of Elbit factory. And yes, I did. I broke a few windows and I poured some red paint indicating Palestinian blood over the Elbit factory. And I don't regret doing it. The evil that comes out of those factories, and when you've seen the suffering that those weapons produce, you have no choice. You have to try and do something about it. There is no choice, no option. So yes, that is basically why I did go up onto that factory roof and did take that action.
The British were largely responsible for the creation of the State of Israel, being the custodians of the Holy Land at the time of the Second World War. And so it's interesting, isn't it, that we're still very much involved hosting this arms firm, which is a major part of the arms race. Now, we hear a lot about the United States involvement in egging on the Israelis, a sort of crusader state in the Middle East, in the tradition of the medieval Knights Templar and the rest of them. But what do you make of the British involvement or the American involvement or other countries? Who is it that's the real superpowers outside the Middle East who are supporting the Israeli efforts down there?
Well, basically, America is obviously the superpower of the world, and it is the superpower that totally supports Israel. America gives Israel $3.8 billion in military aid, and this is money purely to be used for military purposes, to Israel every year. Just before Trump's government ended, I think they donated a further $3.5 billion to Israel before the end of Trump's regime. They have recently sold them the most advanced fighter jets in the world. And Israel, in effect, has the most powerful army in the Middle East, has the most powerful air force in the Middle East, has an extremely powerful navy.
But I mean, you can't really blame Trump for this, can you? Because he's looking to get the Jewish votes in America.
Well, this is obviously why he does it. And he has appealed massively. There's a group of Republicans called AIPAC in America, and they actually have so much power within the American government that they almost dictate American policy on Israel. And they are mainly made up, I think, of Jews, as far as I'm aware. And they have a huge controlling voice and huge power in promoting Israel. And America just follows along with it and does
what. Well, what about here in Bristol, though? Because I know that the sociology professor David Miller at the moment is being, he's going through a process which may mean he loses his job. He's being accused of anti-Semitism at Bristol University.
Yes, well, what happens here, Israel is incredibly powerful in delegitimizing the voice of anyone who speaks up for Palestine or criticizes the Israeli government. And it is becoming much more common now. People are gradually in England becoming more and more aware of the injustices of what is going on in Palestine and the apartheid regime that Israel is promoting and running over there. But lots of younger people are becoming aware in universities. To counter this, Israel has brought up its own international declaration of anti-Semitism and the definitions of anti-Semitism. And unfortunately, these now no longer relate to genuine anti-Semitism, which seems to have been sidelined. But these definitions are aimed purely at shutting down, delegitimizing all criticism of Israel over Palestine or its government. So the Israeli government have now, in effect, forced the British government to take on this definition of anti-Semitism. And Gavin Williams, who is the head of education in Britain, has now forced all the British universities to take on this definition of anti-Semitism. And in effect, he's forcing the universities to ban all criticism of Israel. And this is what's happened. David Miller in Bristol University is a very famous, well-renowned professor of Middle Eastern studies. And he has been critical of this new definitions that all universities have been forced to take up, because it's completely crushing all freedom of speech in English universities.
Yeah, but can you understand why people are annoyed about his criticism, and maybe others too, of the whole Zionist idea? Because there are some Jews, maybe not the majority, who have ended up over in Israel who are actually quite against the policies of Netanyahu. I mean, they would class themselves as Zionists, but they're not so racist or, you know, nationalistic, yes, but racist, no. So there are some Zionists who are, really fighting. One of the most powerful tools to fight Netanyahu and the Likud party.
Yes, they've got some brilliant organisations in Israel, Breaking the Silence, B'Tselem. There are so many really good, powerful Jewish organisations in Israel who are totally against the occupation and the Israeli apartheid. So there are a lot of these wonderful organisations, but unfortunately, they too suffer very badly under the Israeli government regime. They're shut down, some of them put to prison. And it's very hard, even for Jewish people within Israel, to criticize the Israeli government for its apartheid regime and for its treatment of the Palestinians.
Now, Nick, this is obviously very biased coverage of these topics in the mass media. Whereabouts, can you recommend us a few websites or places that we can go other than to actually go to Israel itself or Palestine to actually get some good information on what's happening over there?
Right. Well, this is probably not very easy, because basically it does tend to fall into two camps. My suggestion is that the very good, in effect, Jewish charities and Jewish people who are against what Israel is doing, in effect, they're not Palestinian, but they are Jewish. So I feel they're probably going to have a more balanced outlook on it. And these groups, as I've said, B'Tselem, who's a very good, wonderful Jewish peace organisation that are operating against the occupation, Breaking the Silence, the Widows in Black. There's a lot of very good organisations who are trying peacefully to bring the occupation to an end. One of the things I would say is that at the age of 69, I certainly did not expect to be up on the roof breaking windows. I've never broken a window in my life or done any damage or ever been in trouble with the law in my life. And I certainly wouldn't advocate that other people do this. But the point I'm trying to make here is that if I can get up on the roof and do this to protest what is a horrendous injustice in the world, there are lots of things that other people can do out there. So all I'm trying to do is point to my example. I mean, for example, there are lots of people who are very good at writing letters, and they could all write really telling letters to their MPs. There are those who would want to support some of these charities. So just look on the internet. There's a very good charity called MAP, M-A-P, for example. Look on the internet, look at charities for Palestine, and you can financially support some of these charities, because believe me, they need every penny they can get.
Nick, can I just ask you, how did this go down in your church, your action? Have you spoken to your other congregation and your ministers, etc., about it?
Yes, I have spoken to my home group about it, and it's been extremely difficult for me. That's about really the best I can say on it. I personally believe I did the right thing. To me, the greater crime is the horrendous machinery and weapons that come out of those factories, and the suffering and the death that those weapons cause. And if I can do something to raise awareness and hope in the long run that these factories might be moved out of England, if I can do something to even short term just shut down production in these factories — I believe we did shut down production for at least a week — then to me, that is much more important than the breaking a few windows.
And I wonder, are there groups around that people can join if they're interested in supporting Palestine? Because obviously it's better to be chatting to people face to face, if we're allowed to do that these days, rather than just sitting on your own and sending letters.
Yes, obviously. I mean, as I was saying earlier on, you can join these charities and actually make a difference on the ground. You could, for an example, there's an organisation called EAPPI who will send you out to Palestine. There's lots of organisations you can join. I'm certainly not advocating that everyone should break windows like I did. But if you have, we all have different skills. And if you want to look in all the different areas available for you to use your skills, if direct action is more your skill area, then join Palestine Action. And they're an incredibly important group doing wonderful work to raise awareness and to try and shut these awful factories down in England that shouldn't be here in England.
Okay, Nick, well, please do keep us in touch with your progress through the courts and let us know how you get on.
Yes, it is a hard thing to do. I'm faced with huge legal costs. I'm faced with a prison sentence. But it is still, I do believe it's so important to do what you believe is right and try and right a horrendous injustice that has been perpetrated by Israel upon Palestinians. And I'll do what I can to try and make a difference to the suffering of the Palestinians.
Okay, Nick Georges, thanks very much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you.